Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week it was episode 141.
It was or it is?
It is.
Okay.
It no longer was, it is.
What is it called? Ready Player Infamous?
I was going to say Ready Player Johnny. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm calling this one yet. You'll be as surprised as
infamous
everybody else
player
on Friday.
One.
There you go. It's Infamous Player One. Anywho, so we're obviously talking Ready Player One this week, but before we do that, there's a couple news things we want to talk about.
Normally are.
Well, yeah. The first of which is...
You say it to them like like it's a surprise.
Boo.
Hey, guess what? There's some news.
Dun, dun, dun. Or wait, no, do the news. Your...
Oh.
Okay. So
this just in.
This just in.
A week ago.
Well, Dan Slott. Well, right after we recorded, like it seems
the next
like
day.
The next day, yeah. A lot of stuff typically happens. Dan Slott and Sarah
Pacelli. Yeah.
Are gonna do the Fantastic Four comic.
Yeah.
From Marvel.
Okay.
I'm excited for it.
Does that mean the Fantastic Four are showing up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now?
I don't think anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
Or they'll show up at the end of Infinity.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
If they have some sort of deal worked out already,
maybe.
Like kind of pre.
That would be totally,
okay,
totally
so,
awesome. In
so
the
here's
way.
The thing is no matter what.
And that would make sense of the Russo thing that was
right.
Released today. The letter.
Oh,
you didn't see the letter
no,
yet?
No, but so hold on. Before we get to that, no matter what, if like Fox sells to Comcast or Universal or whoever. The rights revert back to Marvel for those movies.
Sure.
So that would be great.
But they bought that as part of that package deal.
Yeah, they get it back.
Yeah.
I mean, they get it back regardless. That's the thing. So, okay, what was the thing about the Russos? And then we'll get into it.
So the Russos, Marvel Cinema, you know, Marvel Cinemas released a press release today throughout Instagram. And I'm sure throughout the whole internet, that was telling people that the preview audiences will not see the whole movie.
Oh.
They're going to see clips from the movie. They don't want to spoil it.
Awesome.
And they're asking that if you see the movie, do not spoil the movie.
Yeah.
Because they want everybody to enjoy the experience of seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, a la Empire Strikes Back, I would think. You know, Empire Strikes Back, don't tell.
Do you think he's going to be like, Steve, I am your father?
No, no. I think Steve's going to tell Hulk that he's his father.
Oh, yeah. There you go. See, yeah. Hey, Bruce.
It's true.
Remember your mom?
Yeah.
That's why you rage out. You got
that wasn't.
You've got second
that wasn't
generation.
Super serum that they put in that you were experimenting with. That was super sperm.
No, no. It's second generation superhero.
Oh,
serum,
nice. Yes.
So.
No, I don't think we'll get Luke, I am your father, but I think you're going to see somebody die at the end of that movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tony Stark.
Steve Rogers.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this.
Tony ain't going to die, you know.
I know Dan, his run on Amazing Spider-Man probably went on. It should have ended with Superior.
From what you said.
Like,
I don't
feel
know.
Like,
I
know you haven't read it.
I only read Superior.
But like you remember Big Time? You read some of that stuff.
I read a little bit of it.
And that was good. And
well, I mean, from everything that I've ever heard, Dan Slott is a very good writer on Spider-Man.
He was.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, what's the complaint about, really?
I blame editorial decision because they turned Peter into Tony Stark.
Well, yeah, that whole thing was I read the first part of that and was just like, yeah, I don't need to read this.
Like,
because I was like, my thing was I was questioning, is it still Otto Octavius?
Well, yeah.
Because I was like, wait a minute, didn't Peter get his brain back?
Right,
I mean,
right.
You know, it's like, wait a minute.
So Peter was always smart, but he was never that like
tech
genius. Anyway, I think that
Peter was never Tony Stark, Reed Richards businessman type level. He was always just, I can build stuff.
Yeah. I make do with what I have.
Yeah. So
anyway,
yeah, I understand that.
So I feel like Superior would have been the 700 issue of Amazing would have been a great time for him to just kind of hop off,
like finish Superior and then go.
Right.
Okay.
Because I mean, that was Superior ended what, 2 issues after Superior, or the 700th was led into Superior.
Yeah, led into Superior,
and then Superior should have just been his love letter to the fans,
sure,
for Spider-Man. And they shouldn't have tacked on the 2 additional issues that they did. They should have just let him
in
the story.
Weren't the 2 additionals like Spider-Verse?
No.
Oh, they weren't?
No, they were not.
Okay.
And then they reused Superior in Spider-Verse because, you know,
right,
Spider-Verse. I
like that explanation because Spider-Verse.
You know, why not?
Yeah. That's why we have so many Marvel Legends figures. Yeah. Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Spider-Punk, Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Man 2099, Spider-Pig. I'm sorry, Spider-Ham, Spider-Gwen.
So,
why didn't we get a Spider-Mary Jane?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
that was Renew Your Vows.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah. Which was a good storyline.
You know.
Anyway, he did 10 years on Amazing Spider-Man.
Which is a good run.
It's an awesome run.
Yeah.
8 years of it was great.
Okay.
The last two, like, I dropped the book about
Was it him or was it the editorial?
It was editorial.
Okay.
But, like, you can't... When editorial starts mandating and making bad decisions,
mm-hmm,
no matter how good the writer is,
mm-hmm,
the story's not going to be
good.
Because it didn't make any sense. The art was great. On paper, pun intended, it should have been an awesome book that everybody wanted to read. Because it was Peter... like stepping out onto the world stage,
sure,
Peter dumping the quote unquote Parker luck. And it just wasn't. You know, there was the whole thing with the Jackal and the clones where they brought back the clone conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of ill conceived.
Do you feel, and you know, we're getting off the subject of Fantastic Four, but do you
but we're talking about Dan Slott.
Well, right.
But and I'll circle back.
Do you feel like that, and especially Spider-Man, do you feel that people try to use that legacy stuff too much? Like, don't come up with original, like, concept ideas. Like, Spider-Verse to me seemed like an original, like, more original concept than anything had in a while.
So, he had Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Original. Spider-Island.
Yes.
Totally original.
Right.
The everything from Big Time through, you know,
And these are stuff where I would go buy the trade paperbacks.
And even every, like, you do, like, one day more.
Yeah.
Which was him.
Yeah.
You know? That was totally original.
Right.
Like, who thinks that...
But they want to throw in Clone Conspiracy.
Well, and Clone Conspiracy was that nostalgia kick.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, Kane came back.
Right. But these characters can come back.
Spider Island.
Do different stuff.
So they reintroduced Kane with Spider Island.
Right.
And the Clone Conspiracy is like Spider Island 1A sort of a thing.
Okay.
And it just, for me,
it just
it didn't
feels
work.
To me like when you start doing that stuff, it's not original.
No.
Because you're just going off of something that's classic.
Yeah. But like I said,
it's like
unless
you're doing a whole new sequel to it and building off of what happened, sure. But when you're just like, I'm going to just use this in a story.
It's like I said, his time on the book had come up. Like his Silver Surfer is interesting. I don't like the Silver Surfer as a character.
Sure.
But like, I've picked up a few issues here and there, and I enjoy it.
Is he just writing Surfer right now, or is he writing anything else?
I think it's just Silver Surfer
now.
Okay. But anyway, so Fantastic Four. I'm excited to see what he can do with Fantastic Four.
It's going to be interesting to explain where Reed and Sue and the kids have been.
Right.
Obviously, the whole legacy thing's building up, and, you know, this will be that build into the legacy.
Right.
Which is cool, you know, I mean.
He writes a great Johnny Storm.
Sure.
A great Johnny Storm. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Right.
But Johnny Storm is not a hard character to write great.
Right.
Reed's
the one that's going to be hard.
But I think with the way he wrote Peter as the scientist.
Yeah. You think he'll just use Reed?
You dial that up to 11.
Stretch it out.
Yeah.
And you got Reed Richards.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yes, exactly. yeah.
So I'm excited for Dan Slott to take on Fantastic Four. I think Jonathan Hickman had a foot on the throat of that book for far too long.
Yeah.
And while some of it was good, the Future Foundation stuff was really good
right,
for a minute,
yeah.
And then they went
a completely
Hickman
different direction.
Usually gets
with
a little
it.
Crazy.
Ah,
which works in like Secret
yeah,
War type.
Secret Wars.
Yeah,
it just would have been great if he would have gone a little crazy all at one time.
Yeah.
And you know, it would have come out the way
long
it was
time?
Supposed to.
Yeah.
I think if I'm Dan Slott, I look at this as I'm going to write Fantastic Four for no more than 5 years.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell what, because that's what he does. This is what he does better than most right now, is he tells an all-encompassing multi-year story.
Yeah.
That he will, Breaking Bad style, lay groundwork in the first 10 issues that get paid off in the last 15.
Okay.
You know? And so, like, there's stuff that he did during Big Time that got paid off in the 700th.
Okay.
So, excited. Sarah Petrelli's art is amazing.
Yeah. She's been around for a while.
She did a lot of stuff with Bendis. She's the one who created Miles from an art
She worked
standpoint.
At Image at one point on
yep.
Witchblade, too.
So, anyway, so that's awesome.
If you can draw that damn thing. Then,
hell yeah. And draw it, make it look good and not just, you know, porny.
Well, I mean, just the Witchblade glove.
Yeah.
Like, that
oh,
thing
the gloves,
was just...
Yeah.
So,
okay,
yeah.
Witchblade glove versus Infinity Gauntlet. Who wins? Go.
Infinity Gauntlet. It's got more options.
I know.
It's got more options, so the user options.
It's the Swiss Army knife of gloves.
Yeah. It's got more user options.
All right, so the last news bit is the CW has re-upped all of the DC superhero shows except for iZombie. But iZombie's a second half mid-season replacement show.
Right.
So they won't even make a decision on that one until May.
You know.
I've given up on all of them.
I haven't watched any of this season.
Yeah.
I mean, we finished out all but one from last season.
I mean, The Flash has been off for a couple weeks, and it comes back, I think, next week on the 9th.
Okay.
I'll
I think
probably,
at this point I'm more like optioning out for Netflix end of season, watch it all at once.
I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm done with Arrow. I'm not going back to Arrow.
You failed this show.
No, Arrow failed me as a fan.
Wow.
Anyway.
But you never were like a big Green Arrow fan.
I love Green Arrow.
I don't think you love it as much as you think you
Well,
do.
Maybe. Well, I think part of my problem with Arrow is it's way too Batman.
Well, that's
true. And so there's that. But yeah, so they've picked up all these shows. But
yeah.
I don't know if you know this or not. They're going to do programming on Sunday nights now.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So instead of just being a Monday through Friday, they're a Sunday through Friday network. So do you remember when Fox did this?
Years ago, yeah.
So they did like Sunday through Thursday. They didn't really have anything on Friday nights. And then the X-Files came along. And that was like what kind of bolstered their Friday night lineup. This is a really interesting time for the CW. Because they have here a slate of shows that take out Black Lightning are all going into seasons 3 or higher.
Yeah. Well, Legends is...
Oh, no, 4 or higher. Sorry,
Legends
these are
season
like
4.
Legends, Supergirl are 4. Flash is 6. Arrow
5.
Is... 5. Flash is 5. Arrow is 7.
Yeah.
But they have this. They just have this stable.
Supernatural's
of,
14.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Supernatural. I didn't see. I'm sure
it did.
I think they picked everything up except for the 100 and iZombie, which
the
100
was
hasn't
just
even aired,
over, wasn't it?
No, it's got one. It's got. It's coming back.
Well, I thought it just
the
had this,
this
year,
month.
And then that was it.
I hope so. To be honest, I love the show. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love that show, but I really wish the season 4 finale would have been the end.
Yeah, but
and
is this Kripke?
They should have. What?
Kripke?
Kripke's doing the 100?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I'm getting mixed
up. No, Kripke does Supernatural.
No, Kripke isn't on Supernatural anymore, is he?
No. Oh, you're right. He's not. He's doing some. He's on another network.
Oh,
right
okay.
Now. Anyway.
I mean, I think he's like a consulting producer or something.
Well, I mean, it's his story. So.
No. His story was over. Well. His story was over 11 years
ago. It ended in season 5.
Yeah.
Anywho,
good for them for 14 years.
Yeah,
congrats.
You know, congrats to the cast and crew and everyone like that.
I mean, if they're still happy doing it, if they're still,
it seems
enjoying
like they're having
themselves.
Fun.
So you know,
well, and they
I
did,
missed the Scooby Doo episode.
Yeah.
I forgot
well,
about
it's
it.
On who it'll be on. It's on the CW app.
Yeah,
you
I'll
can watch,
watch
that
I'll
for
watch
free.
It.
You know, it seems like they're enjoying themselves and whatever. So, I just think this is, like I said, this is a really interesting stepping point for the CW.
Yeah.
Because it's either they're going to step
What's going to be on Sundays?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Supernatural.
You think?
Yes.
You think they're going to put you think they're going to throw Supernatural up against Sunday Night Football during the fall?
No. They won't put anything up against it on the fall. Everything will start mid-season.
You think?
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm really interested to see.
Are you thinking they'll put something up that they want to get rid of?
I think that's going to be their, like, hey, we're just burning off episodes of these shows.
Uh-huh. So Arrow's on Sunday.
Arrow moved to Thursday night. It was
in this day and age, it doesn't matter.
Well, I know it doesn't matter. I mean, and you know, but that's the thing. But
DVR
once Arrow moved to Thursday, even on the app, I just kind of forgot about it.
The app.
All right. So this is either the CW is going to step up and become, you know, a major player on their own, free of Warner Brothers and Paramount, because that's the group that co-owns it.
Yeah.
Or
I remember when all that happened.
Yeah, or it's just going to continue to be.
It's true. It's all true. There was a WB and a UPN.
Thank you, Harrison.
Yeah, no problem.
As Alec Guinness called him, Tennyson.
No. Yeah. But.
I don't know. So we'll see. Like I said, it's interesting. The fact that they've announced it so early tells me that they have plans. Honestly, what I would like to see them do is save Sunday night and do like cool crossover events.
Yeah.
Like crossover Supernatural with The Flash or something. Like that really would be just interesting. Like take all those like shoots that they do in Vancouver. And just, like, kind of go wild and have fun.
Yeah. I don't know what you do with Sunday.
Yeah.
Start your own. I got it. XFL's going to be on the CW.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think NBC has that, though.
Isn't wrestling on CW?
No. Oh. Not anymore. It hasn't been. It's on USA. And it's going to go.
It was.
It was for years.
So, you know.
But it wasn't on Sundays. It was on Thursdays.
But XFL's football. Football versus football.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. All right. So you ready to talk Ready Player One?
Sure.
Player.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Anyway. All right. So.
Jeez.
I read the book several times. You have not yet read the book.
Yeah.
Which, no judgment. You're just illiterate. No, I'm kidding. So having not read the book, and you've heard Kenny and I and people talk about this book in vagaries. We haven't really spoiled a whole lot for you. What do you think, like, what did you think of the movie? Like, what were you looking forward to going in?
As a movie?
Yeah.
What did I think of the movie as a movie?
Yeah, I mean, just like, what did you think of this story going in? Because, you know, it's one of these, like,
they should have just called the guy Flynn and just made it Tron. you've said this about Klein.
Yeah.
And I said it when I heard the concept of Ready Player One. And you said it about his next book.
Yeah.
He does a lot of homaging.
Oh yeah.
And it's the character, what's his name? What's the character?
Wade Parzival.
No, the character who created.
Oh, Halliday.
Halliday.
Yeah.
Just call him Flynn and call it the grid.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it's what.
So.
What you think that Tron 2 should have been, kind of?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So the book felt more Tron-like.
Okay. Well, see, and that's what I'm saying, Klein.
And I felt a little more Matrix.
Well, you said the second book was Last Starfighter.
It is. They ripped off the Last Starfighter.
Last Starfighter, like, sequel.
Honestly, like. If they wanted to do Armada and literally just turn it into the Last Starfighter sequel, turn it into the Codan Armada has like regrouped. Alex has come back from the Star Legion. His kid has been
Star
on
League.
Earth.
Star League.
Thank you. Has come back and his kid's been living on Earth, not knowing where his dad's been for the last
Lewis
forever years. Yeah, Lewis is raising him. Like there's just minor tweaks and it's
Maggie died.
Mags died. Yeah. Poor Mags.
Sons of bitches.
She crashed her car into a alien spaceship and didn't roll out this time.
Her space alien car?
Yeah. But no, so this one felt more Matrix-y from the movie.
The movie felt Matrix-y?
Just a little. Like, it still felt Tron-like, but it dipped more into Matrix territory with some of the way they handled, like, the shopping scene where he was going through and buying. He bought the exosuit thing and the holy hand grenade.
I think it was just, you know, that was your Amazon advertisement in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But did you like it as a whole?
I liked it, yeah.
You enjoyed it? Would you see it again?
I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know if I'd run to the theater and see it again, but...
I mean, let's be honest, though. Like, in the last 2 years, what have we really run to the theater to see multiple times?
Star Wars.
That's it.
I don't think I've seen... Did I see Rogue... I only seen Rogue One once in a theater.
But, I mean, we saw Justice League once. Well, I saw it twice, but... I don't think you went back to see it.
No. Justice League, I had no interest in going to see it twice. And
I have no interest in paying
$25.99 for it either.
Yeah.
And that, I seen Last Jedi three times. I would have seen it twice if I didn't get the option of seeing it for free once.
Yeah.
What else did I see recently? I seen something else. I know I seen something
else. But twice. You'd buy this and pay full price, is what you're saying. This isn't a wait for Black Friday.
Isn't a wait for Black Friday.
All right.
I was hoping Justice League wasn't going to be a wait for Black Friday, but they overpriced that.
Well, but
when they overpriced Last Jedi too, really. Yeah.
I bought it on iTunes. It was still only $20, so digital.
And I missed it because I forgot about going back to get it. Meyer was the only one that had the Blu-ray like at a price where I'm like, that's a decent price.
Yeah,
$19.99.
Yeah.
Everybody else $22. Or
24 was at Target and 24 and 27,
and they sold out of the. This is a thing for any retailers out there that might be listening. If you're doing exclusives, order more of the exclusive and less of the regular one.
Right.
So if I go 2 days after the movie came out, you still have some, because I would have paid $27.99 to get a.
You know what? I should have just grabbed that for you when I was there. Anyway,
it's
no
big deal. But I'm just like, you know, if I go in 2 days after the movie's out, you still should have some.
Yeah. So I've seen
Target fail.
Target fail. I've seen some people have complained about the differences between the book. Not a lot.
Everybody's always going to do that.
But here's
the thing. If you have a book that is produced into a movie, War and Peace.
Right.
Something's going to be, you know.
Well, and I gave you
not
really
the character from Sky High. Right. We're talking about the movie War and Peace.
I gave you a really good. That guy is on The Expanse.
Oh, really?
Anyway,
okay.
I gave you, I think, a pretty good example that you could get on board with about the necessary changes. So in The Martian, there's, you know, and I'm just going to repeat it for them.
Well, we reviewed the book and the movie when we did that. And
but there's 40
pages to the book.
Right.
Yeah.
There's 40 pages of driving. And then you never know if they make it back to Earth in the book or not.
Yeah.
You know, he just makes it into space and gets on the spaceship and needs a shower.
Whoop, whoop.
The changes that happened in this book, like I told you, the going for the keys and the challenges and things like that, you had...
I know what I was thinking yesterday. Sure. What I was thinking this is comparable to is The Hunger Games.
I've
not read the book.
Yeah.
I read all the Hunger Games books.
The movie for sure.
Yeah, I read all the Hunger Games books and seen all the movies, and there are necessary adjustments.
Right.
To the story, to the time lapses and all if that's the case, and I will read this book because I'm curious to see the differences, but what was there was definitely like a well thought out story. Mm-hmm. You can tell that it's a Steven Spielberg movie.
So
the homages that are in the movie are fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff where I'm like, yeah, I want to buy this just so I can pause the screen and see who's all there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the A-Team van's in the race, and I'm like, what? Wait.
The Mach 5?
The Mach 5, the Batmobile, the A-Team van, I think. Like
the Winchester's cars in there. So
baby.
Yeah.
Knight Rider wasn't in there, but the red light was on the front of the DeLorean. So, you know. And that was the other thing that, and I was telling her, because she didn't go see it, and I was telling her to one minor issue I had was, why didn't Spielberg talk to Disney about using some Star Wars stuff?
Well, so minor spoiler.
Yeah, I know he drives the X-Wing and all that.
But the Millennium Falcon, they mention it. They show it.
Sure.
Like in the book, the Millennium Falcon is a sought after, very rare item. So there's that. All right. So the quests, right? So that first quest for the key is a race.
Right.
Loved it. Like, that was the perfect way to open that movie.
Yeah, the T-Rex from Jurassic Park, King Kong. I'm
like, you know, the World War II bombers and stuff like that. But so in the book, the first key is on Ludus, which is the education planet where they all have to go to school.
Sure.
So they aged Wade up a little bit in this because he wasn't in school, or they at least alluded to that he wasn't.
School inside in the Oasis?
So it's free. Everyone can attend school, and you know, you can go all the way through college.
So there's
whatever.
More of an expanded universe.
Much more.
Okay.
It's not just a game.
Right.
You know, it's not just an overweight lady in a trailer stripping.
Or dancing.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I just think she was dancing.
Anyway, so the first one is Wade figures out, like, so Wade loves Halliday.
Sure.
And, you know.
Well, yeah, he's like one of the big fans of this whole setup.
But he's super poor.
Okay.
And so what happens is he figures out from a clue that, it must be somewhere on Ludus.
Yeah.
Like, he's taught because things that Halliday says about education and this sort of thing.
Sort of like what he does with the backwards. And
So here's the thing, though, is in the book, there's just a
Spoilers.
There's just a painstaking amount of research that goes into finding
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie.
There's no hall of Halliday.
Oh, okay.
Like, that doesn't exist in the book.
Which was a cool concept.
It was awesome.
Like,
and I loved
downloaded everything. Every movie he liked, it's like, oh, that's my house.
I wonder if he torrented all those.
I don't know. Or
if he paid for them.
Yeah. He probably owned them at that point.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, the whole idea that he was so self-involved that everything that happened, he saved.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, pays off at the end because he explains himself.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, no spoiler there. It's just, you know, you do see Halliday at the end. And when he explains himself, I'm like, dude, everything in this movie totally makes sense with his story.
Yeah.
Like, why the quests were the way they were
and
all that. So it's like you get an extra payoff because there's the payoff of, you know. Yep.
Why he liked the things
the people
he liked.
Fighting the corporation and that. But, I mean, the whole conversation he has with Wade at the end, I'm like, well, this pays off everything.
Right.
It's like,
and there's a similar thing to that in the book. But real quick before we continue, I want to take a quick break.
Sure.
Some words for our friends from our friends at Comixology.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back. Okay. Picture this. You're somewhere you don't want to be. And what's the one thing you always want to do? You always want to read comics. We all do. That's why we're here. All right. So here's how we can help you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. And click on the link to start your 30-day free trial of Comixology Unlimited. You can go on there and read books from Image, like Invincible. We've talked about Invincible on the show. You can read books like IDW. It is one of my all-time favorite comics. You can read Marvel, DC. I think they have Valiant now. There's a ton of stuff on there. It's great. And it's all free for 30 days to decide if you want to keep it. But definitely go check it out. It's well worth it, and you can read comics anywhere you are, from your phone, your tablet, your computer. It doesn't matter. So go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology today.
All right, we're back. So make sure you guys check out Comixology. Just go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. It'll tell you everything you need to know. The code is there for you to get your $5 off when you spend $15.
Yeah.
So I actually used it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it works. If you've been wondering,
it works.
That's kind of what I did. I did a little happy dance.
Doc Brown.
So
it really works.
I went out in the street and I threw some lighter fluid down and made like two, and I was like, dun, 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 dun. All right.
And then a frozen dog walked by, and you're like, what?
No, then there was one, there were two trees before.
Oh,
just
nice.
One just faded out of existence.
Nice.
And then there was another Marty. No, anyway. All right, so back to this. Well, you know, he rides in the DeLorean everywhere he goes. There is
another Marty, so.
So, all right.
Yeah, that DeLorean had some good traction on it.
Dude, well, it was beat up,
man. A Doom world?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no kidding, right?
Like, okay.
So.
That was the one place where I'm like, oh, that's where we needed the AT-ATs.
Okay, so in the book, like, yeah. They all, like, it's like a call to war. So, the one thing I didn't like is the whole idea of the rebellion.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the book.
Okay.
And they put Artemis and Wade together way too quick.
In the movie?
In the movie.
Well, we got only got 2 hours to tell a story.
No, and I get it. So, but the payoff is they don't meet until the middle of the third act of the book, like right at the big climactic battle is where they finally meet in person. And they've, you know, broken up. Well, you know, they weren't ever really together.
Right.
But he was way more stalkery in the book than was in this, and he was pretty stalkery in this.
Okay.
But anyway, so you've got in the book this huge expanded oasis.
Yeah.
And they rightfully narrowed the focus of it.
Well, sure.
For the movie.
Well, in the first 10 minutes, they explain what it is.
Yeah.
And how you use it. And show you like Minecraft world,
right.
And a couple other worlds, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is the grid.
But like exactly. Well, in to the point, like Tron 2, you know, he's literally Legacy, off the grid, in Legacy. Wade Parzival, Z, whatever you want to call him, has an asteroid that he just has hoarded all of the stuff
in the book.
Because in the book, he becomes very wealthy.
Okay.
From getting the first two keys,
right?
From, you know, being able to power up, and he's actually good at the game.
Okay.
So,
now were characters like Sho and
Dio,
yeah, those were in the book.
They were,
and
I'll just say, so H is my favorite character, okay. Book and movie.
Okay.
And I will say, not all of the high five make it through the book.
Okay.
But they all made it.
I felt like they shouldn't have all made it through the movie.
There was not an 11-year-old in the book.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like that was kind of Spielberg's.
That's a Spielberg
for the kids, you know, kind of a thing. But yeah, it's T.J. Miller's. T.J. Miller's character was not in the book.
I was
going
to say, what is it, IROC or whatever?
IROC, yeah.
IROC is not in the book.
Not in the book.
Wow.
There's no like assassin type thing that they have, like.
And he was one of the more interesting characters.
He was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's a carpal tunnel thing with my neck.
Like I wanted to see what was going on, like what his deal was, like at his house or wherever he was.
Oh, to like go behind the visor.
Yeah, like I wanted to see behind his visor and see what.
Oh, when he zeroed out, like watching him throw a temper tantrum. Yeah. So
that would have been cool.
But it's not. It's not T.J. Miller. It's like Rumor Wilson from Pitch Perfect. Something like that.
That would have been cool, actually. Yeah.
All right.
Or that should have been like that little girl that throws a temper tantrum. Yeah. That would have been.
She was IROC.
She should have been IROC.
Now,
there was a lot of like the visuals in the real world were cool because it was like a lot of like you're like, oh, what's going on in this world? And that. And then, you know, the gaming world, the visuals kind of felt like what was that movie? Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
The Final Fantasy movie, except better.
Yeah.
Like they've gotten that technology.
Well,
that
they have the mocap now.
Yeah, the gaming technology has gotten better to the point that you're like, oh, yeah, okay, they look real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they look fake, but they look real.
There was they were real enough that you didn't get the uncanny valley to get creeped out by them.
Yeah.
The
eyes and the mouth actually was because that was my one complaint about Tron Legacy was Flynn's mouth
never matched.
Or not Flynn, but Clue. Clue's mouth never looked normal.
Right.
Like, well, I mean, you know, when he's talking, it doesn't
like
look
they
normal.
Got it right with Peter Cushing.
Yes.
In Rogue One, whereas they kind of like they didn't get it as right with Leia.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that was rushed, I think.
Yeah, probably.
That wasn't there, I don't think.
I don't think that was in Garrett's final cut or final vision of the movie. The cast.
I can say, like, they need to give, if the Phoenix movie is more focused on Gene and Scott, that they do need to give him more to do.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
Because he actually is a legitimately decent actor.
So did you ever watch The Scout's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Is he great in that. He's the scout. Know. He's the non-douche.
So that was him?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
So
it's been a long time. Been at least 2 years since
I love him in that movie. I loved him as Cyclops.
Yeah, I thought he was decent as Cyclops, but it's like, you know, they didn't give him enough to do. Like, he's just blasting away.
But he kind of nailed Cyclops.
But he did Cyclops well enough, yeah.
I loved him in this.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in this.
So the other thing that I think they handled well is in the book, Parzival Wade, he's just an overweight kid.
Right.
Kind of like what I am right now.
Okay.
Like, kind of pudgy. And Ty Sheridan is just, you know, not.
Well, like, and you said they made him all older.
Yeah. And so...
Which I think makes more sense for the fact that he's very responsible for things that happen.
And he was in
things that are his fault.
And they did a good job carrying that over, where it wasn't the same, you know, stakes at play.
Right.
But they carried over his empathy, his Peter Parker sense of responsibility, to kind of tie that back in.
It's easy and hard sometimes for kids to emote. I think Spielberg knew that going into this and had to cast it more of an older,
which is great because actor. So he was great. I thought,
and that's probably why we got an 11-year-old as a character because of that.
I think Olivia Cooke was really good.
Yeah,
as Artemis.
What else has she been in?
So she was in The Signal. She's in that Ouija board. She's in The Quiet Ones.
So I haven't seen anything she's
been
in.
And the movie I knew her from was Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Okay.
With the Blue Ranger from the Power Rangers, the black kid from the Power Rangers movie, the most recent one, and Nick Offerman's in it. That's why I watched it. It's Nick Offerman, and she's the dying girl.
I haven't seen any of those.
It was really good.
Yeah.
She's a really good little actress. Yeah, she's British.
Yeah, I've seen HBO Now had like a preview of a scene with Spielberg and them talking about it. And when she started talking, I'm like, oh, so, okay, so she's British. And then she does a pretty good American accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she was on Bates Motel, too. She did 44 episodes.
I watched the first
season. She was in season...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. She was Emma Ducote.
Okay. That's where I've seen her then.
Yeah. I mean, but that was 5 years ago. So, I mean, she was much younger.
Yeah, yeah. She's sick in that. And she's like... She plays a sick girl on that first season of Bates Motel, which obviously she's in the rest of it. I never got past the first season.
I never watched it.
The first season was really well done, and everybody said it's good. I just, you know, it's on the list.
Yeah. So they gave her a lot more to work with.
Okay.
Because Artemis in the book does not have the same
level
of responsibility.
She's a mysterious character.
She is. She's very standoffish. She's much more standoffish, not nearly as playful.
Okay.
And you know, she's much more self-conscious about the birthmark on her face.
Yeah, they didn't play that much.
Not nearly enough. Because part of the thing in the book that they did well is because he was a chubby kid and she was a pretty girl with a birthmark. Is they both had their own like identity and like, you know, body issues.
Yeah.
And they had to work through them for each other.
Okay.
And they got there. And then when they finally met, it didn't matter. And it didn't matter here. I think.
No, because the way they made his character, because he's not a pudgy kid or anything, but he was nerdy. Like he was super nerdy. And I think that was his. You know, for him and his mind, his weakness.
Right.
And that. Plus, he, you know, he wasn't a strong character. He wasn't, you know, he was bullied.
Yeah.
You could obviously have been bullied.
I mean, he was bullied in and out of the Oasis.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I think that was his major thing was a lot of mental issues. And hers was just, she's very self-conscious.
I think if you think about him, he was a lot of. Pre-serum Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of the downtrodden little guy who, I've got heart, just give
Mom
me a
and
chance.
Dad are dead, and, you know, I'm living with my aunt and her crappy boyfriend number 12.
Yeah.
You know, that guy deserved to be blown up. Yeah. So.
But no, so she was great. I think the changes they made to her helped the movie greatly.
Okay.
Okay. Not that the things that happen in the book are bad. They're just different. But I think if they would have gone with the version of Artemis from the book, more closely tied to the book,
she wouldn't have been a liked character.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, when she's in IOI,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't happen in the book.
Okay.
There's a different character that goes undercover. Okay. But the character goes undercover into IOI.
Oh, okay.
It's not, you know, IOI being like, oh, hey, look, yeah, we're going to arrest
you. You owe money.
And then we had Lena Waithe, I think that's how you say that, as H. She was Helen. She's on Master of None.
His friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I love her, man.
She's everybody's friend. Then.
Yeah. She's everybody's best friend.
Yeah.
She was.
I know, like, the line when she tells him, hey, you don't know who you're talking to. What? And I was like, as soon as she said, I'm like, oh, so this is going to be a female.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was happy with that because I was like, that's satisfying to know that he made a friend who's not what he expected it to be.
Yeah. Not old, but older woman. Older.
She was like, she said she was in her late 30s and, you know, she's a woman.
And she's homosexual and, you know. So the thing that they didn't play up with her is the character had like a Cheshire Cat smile.
Oh, okay.
Which she absolutely has in real life.
Sure.
And they didn't do anything with that. That was the only misstep. I loved H's shop. That was new. That wasn't in the book.
Yeah, the lunchbox with Battlestar Galactica and other stuff in it.
Well,
it was like the things that I thought were cool that were like there's stuff that's not easy to see and there's stuff that's easy to see.
Right.
Chucky Bomb was awesome.
Yep.
Serenity showing up.
I miss Serenity.
That's where Daito is when he
jumps
out.
Oh, you're
out.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Never mind. I remember
so Serenity showing up was cool. Kong was cool. Right. I'm like, you know, if that's what Kong looks like in the next movie, because he was a full-grown Kong.
Right.
I'm like, that's going to be awesome.
Yep.
You know, just the little things, too. Like, you know, just The Shining. Oh, man.
The kid covered her eyes the entire time for that.
This is how cool The Shining was. Alan Silvestri does the music for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Back to the Future. Right. Sounds like Avengers because he's done the music for Back to the Future, Avengers. As soon as The Shining comes up, he changes the style of his music. And I'm like, okay, I want this soundtrack just because of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I was like, as soon as you hear boom, 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 I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, this is going to be bad. And it's like, H, the only one who's never watched The Shining. I was like, yeah, you're going to fall for all the traps.
You're done. Sorry.
And it was awesome because it was like you got to see the IOI people going through that.
Oh,
and just and
I loved when they went into the real world and saw them freaking out their rigs. Yeah. That was great.
Well, even during the fight when Chucky Bomb comes in and everybody's like, Chucky, Chucky! And it's like, yes!
So Chucky Bomb, not in the book.
Yeah, that was cool, though.
That totally added to it.
Well, I think
Shining... Not in the book.
It's not in the book?
No.
Wow.
That was all for the movie.
See, then that's cool.
So.
But I think that was probably just a nod to Spielberg doing a nod to Kubrick.
So there's more of a nod. The book has way more of a... Well, so the book second key is they have to recite Ferris Bueller's Day Off from memory.
Oh, really?
Like, and interact like they're Ferris.
Oh, wow.
Which... Okay. Totally would not work in the movie.
No.
Like and not just wouldn't it work because it wouldn't be as like visually as exciting,
right.
But the cost that it would take to digitally put them into the 1985 John Hughes classic film.
Yeah.
You know.
Doing the hotel was easier just because you know what that lobby looks like and it's an easy set to build. Because I mean you could tell it was a set.
Yeah.
And that, I mean,
until
the twins showed up and then, you know, the river of blood.
Come play with me.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's these two little girls.
Yeah. But no, she was, Lena was awesome. And
when
they cast her, I was so excited and I was really happy that my excitement was well founded.
Yeah.
Because, I was so happy with the way she played the character with the voice and then in the real world.
Right.
That was cool. Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
Is quickly becoming the best villain in all
of movies.
Well,
that's what I told her. I said, you know, at least we got a nod to Star Wars without really getting a nod to Star Wars. Because I said, Krennic is the villain. Yeah. I said, and he was playing the same character without a slight British accent.
Right. I mean, and I love Krennic.
Like, yeah.
He's one of my favorite parts of Rogue One. I mean, if you go to any of my social media profile pictures right now, it's me doing the Krennic
look,
you know, because I was messing around with Lightroom one day, like trying to see if I could get the individual strands of my spiky hair to show up. And I was like, oh, I'm
going to do the Krennic pose.
Yeah. Well, and it was just because the screensaver going.
He's a decent actor. I watched the first few episodes of Bloodline,
and he
can play a range.
He's like a really good Clifton Collins Jr.
Yeah.
And not saying Clifton Collins Jr. is a bad actor.
Well, no, Clifton Collins Jr. plays good guys.
He does.
Ben Mendelsohn plays good bad guys.
And Clifton Collins Jr. has been a bad guy from time to time, but he is not nearly as effective as the good guy.
Okay, so bad guy that stands out in my head for Clifton Collins is Nero's friend IL in Star Trek. He's still friendly. He's still hello.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the Nevada.
Why don't you come over here, because we're going to blow your ship up.
We're either going to shoot you or you're going to come over here. It's your choice.
He's still friendly about it. So it's like, but Mendelsohn is just like, so I don't know how I feel meeting you for real.
In my mind's eye, I pictured Nolan Sorrento as a younger guy.
Okay.
Like Christopher Reeve looking.
Was there any Superman flashbacks with Halliday and?
No, there was none of that. It was.
So they enhanced the story a lot and made it probably what I would say better.
So the video game knowledge, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's all Ernest Cline from his half of the script that he wrote.
Okay.
The story, the heart, the, you know, kind of carrying through. All Zach Penn.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, the two of them writing any kind of genre film or movie together in the future
would do really good.
I'm all in.
Last Starfighter 2.
Whatever, man. Like, you're saying that like I wouldn't like.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready to see Lance Guest back.
So not only would I geek out, like, I'd go to find where it's filming and, like, get a job as a PA.
Sure. Yeah, there you go.
So, we talked about T.J. Miller. Simon Pegg as Ogden Morrow was great.
Well, he's barely there. So, but I mean, like, it's like, you know.
It was the little bit, like, he just had that Simon, what was his name of his character in, Sean.
Sean?
He had the Sean face.
I didn't know which movie you were talking about until you said Sean, and I'm like,
Sean? What was his name in Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah,
oh, Sean. Wait. He just had the Sean face going on. As Ogden Morrow, which is pretty funny.
I like that when he shows up as an old man, it's the Back to the Future makeup.
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what if Spielberg would have said no to this, Zemeckis would have been the one I would have said to direct it.
Right.
Because Beowulf is a good CG movie.
Yeah.
And Zemeckis has the heart to do a live action and CG movie. And I love that. I love the Zemeckis Cube.
The Zemeckis Cube was awesome.
I'm like, thanks for that. Yep. It's like, you know, thanks for, like, giving a nod to Zemeckis besides just putting a DeLorean in the movie.
Right. So Morrow in the book lives off in Washington State, like, kind of
He's gone away.
He's been away. Because
it takes place in Oklahoma in the book.
It starts in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And then it goes to Columbus.
Oh, okay. So Columbus is in the book.
And so the character that goes undercover
is IOI in Columbus?
Yes.
Okay.
So the character who goes under, so is Gregorius. So Halliday is from Middletown.
No shit. Really? Yeah.
And so the third challenge in the book is going to a replica of Middletown that is just an endless stream of his houses. House that he grew up in. So, and then there's all the meth. And the violence and the crime.
Whoa.
And wait.
That's real. That's not in the book.
Sorry.
Right?
If you're from Middletown.
Sorry.
Nah, clean yourself up.
Wow.
Anyway.
Is that just for Middletown people that were born in Middletown? Because I know people that have that live in Middletown.
Yeah,
or
and
have
they're,
lived
they're
in Middletown.
Desperately trying to escape. It's like a John Carpenter movie.
There is one person where her Facebook page, when it comes to the talking about Middletown, is some of the most awesome stuff ever.
So he's way out on the West Coast, And so everything that happens at IOI happens differently.
Is Ernest Cline from Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he's from Ashtabula.
Okay.
So, which explains a lot.
Get that guy on the show.
So he comes in and kind of saves the day and brings the high five that have survived to that point to his compound.
The Fantastic Four?
Essentially. Okay. He has this like amazing setup. They've got all top of the line rigs so that they can go in and fight.
Okay, so the thing they change is there's no chase in the Postal Service van, which is in the movie.
Right.
They just get picked up and taken.
They get picked up in a Postal Service van.
Right.
And they get taken to an airport.
Right.
And they fly a private jet, which, again, the way that was in the book, great for the book. It would have been 10 minutes of just exposition that didn't need to happen in what was a very tight story.
Well, right. And that's like, you know, the things that happen when they're getting chased in the van, what's happening to Wade in the grid. I like to say that.
Yeah, I know.
what's happening to him in the Oasis almost affects like what happens in the real world and vice versa.
Yeah.
To the point that he almost erases the whole thing at one point. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, there's consequences
to
what's happening.
Not in the book. She's a movie-only character.
Who was that?
Her name is Hannah John Kamen.
Okay.
I can pull her up real quick. She's on West End.
Okay.
So she's British? She was on Killjoys.
British
actress.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but
Mendelsohn is not British.
No.
But he does a good British accent. Yeah. But he didn't do it in this movie. And I was like, oh. Okay.
I'm glad he didn't. He got that Midwest Ohio accent down.
Yeah, he did.
Anywho, so you have this character here who, in Morrow.
Ogden, yeah.
Who, you know, he, very much in the vein of, he never told me I couldn't help. You know?
Yeah.
It's I couldn't interfere. But I could always help.
In the movie.
In both.
In both. Okay.
So the one up life.
The rule was he couldn't interfere, but he made the rule where I can help.
Yeah, I can help. Yeah. You know, I can help a plucky kid from the stacks. So in the book, he doesn't, just because he knows things, he doesn't get the quarter. What he does is he stumbles across a mini game that is getting to the kill screen on Pac-Man.
Okay.
And so he goes through and does it, and then he gets this quarter put into his inventory.
Sure.
So then when the bomb, whatever the forget what the bomb was called now,
the orb of
the
actual bomb.
The bomb that goes off.
It was just a bomb.
I can't remember the names of all this. So it wipes out everyone on that planet, right?
Well, he should have brought the Wikipedia page up.
And I have it.
Well, did it wipe everybody in the movie? I thought it wiped everybody out of the game altogether.
It zeroes you out.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it does.
But
in the
book,
too.
I mean, it literally grew out and like, did it hit every world?
No,
because
all of those people were on. No,
like everybody was on Doom
just
World
that one
at that
world.
Point.
Like,
right.
Like not everybody in the Oasis, but like the people who had a vested interest were there.
You say the fat lady was still stripping him?
Definitely.
Okay.
No, she got blown up. That was his stack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
was she home at the time, though?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
anyway, so.
I like that drones were delivering Pizza Hut.
Dude.
Still late and still wrong,
but it came from a drone.
But it came from a drone.
But anyway. So yeah, he did some really cool stuff and he helped them out. But so Wade, when the bomb goes off, he's just there in like the jeans and t-shirt look.
Sure.
Trying to figure out why he's still there and the one up thing is flashing. It's like, oh, I got an extra life.
Yeah.
He didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick. Sho and Daito in the book are awesome. They're very adversarial at first.
Okay.
It's not like, oh, it's Sho and Daito. There was none of that.
I would have liked Sho to take the mask off because I know that it was reptilian.
Oh, it should have been
underneath
a lizard,
there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see the face. Now that's the thing. Is anybody producing action figures for this movie?
There's pops. So
man, this movie would deserve to have action
to
figures.
To get H's figure where you can pull it up and twist it with the limbs.
Yeah.
Or the the between the body and right. the waist. But
so, Show and Dido.
Like, Show and Dido were great. Because we thought when the Iron Giant rolled in and it was Parzival standing there, we all thought that was Leonardo.
Right.
You know? And we got Leonardo.
Yeah.
The wretched movie version of
it. Well, yeah, all four turtles were
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, they were all in there. But
the Halo guys were awesome.
Yeah.
Because they moved like in a unit in the real world. And I was like, those guys are awesome.
Well, that was a Gunter clan. Yeah. That was their thing.
Right.
So Show and Dido were good in the movie. They were much better in the book.
From everything that was in the trailers, in the previews, were you satisfied with what you got?
Absolutely.
Not thinking of the book at all.
Absolutely. I'm going to see it again in the theater.
Okay.
I absolutely.
I think I want to see it again in IMAX 3D.
I won't do the 3D, but if you go just do regular IMAX,
I think I want to see an IMAX 3D. I want to throw up. Because I feel like there's a scene in there where I will throw up.
There's a brown note in there somewhere.
Not a brown note, a P note. No, there's like reviews that I've seen, like, you know, people's reviews.
Yeah.
That's seen it in IMAX 3D, and everybody's giving it 5 stars.
Okay.
So I'm like,
interesting.
I'm curious now.
I will say, of the two movies I saw this week, with Pacific Rim 2.
Oh, yeah, you've seen Pacific Rim 2
and
also.
This was the much better.
Wow.
And I love Pacific Rim.
The first one. Right.
Not that the second one is horrible. It's just
the original is much
I will say this. After watching that, Pac Rim 2,
mm-hmm.
I wish they would have killed Finn in Star Wars to let him go do more roles like this.
Oh, so he could play just...
This is the perfect role for him. For John Boyega.
And Finn isn't?
I just don't think... Well, one...
I remember John Boyega in Attack the Block.
Right.
So it's like,
he's
know,
very similar to...
Yeah, and
like
it's like, that
character.
Seems like that's what this character
like,
is.
I don't like John Boyega when he's doubting, like the doughty kind of cowardly guy. He's not the cowardly lion. He's a badass.
Yeah, so which was Attack the Block. I mean,
right.
They were all badass.
They were absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's talk that he's going to join the MCU.
That's what?
Well, he said not Blade.
Not Blade.
Because he said, like, Wesley Snipes is the only person I can see as Blade. And
No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I throw money on the table. Yeah. You're playing Blade.
Yeah, you're Blade.
Yeah.
John Blade Agia.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Who else could he play?
Well, let's finish this, and we'll do fun.
Well, you're the one that brought it up.
Fan cast.
You want to do the rate? Like, do a rating on this movie?
Just one before I do.
Oh, he's got one more.
No. I do have one more thing. Very rarely do we get a movie that was a book that was beloved.
Yeah.
By its fan base.
Yeah.
Turned into a movie that is 80% different.
Okay.
And it's good.
All right.
And Spielberg's been hit or miss lately.
Yeah, I think BFG was a bomb.
The Post was horrid.
I liked Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies was okay.
Yeah.
Like, I
thought that was
love it. I didn't hate it.
I think when Spielberg works with Tom Hanks, it's a quality movie, though. Because they work together well. And
But
The Post, I don't know.
This is the kind of movie...
I didn't see The Post.
These are the kind of movies.
He directed that?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the kind of movies that we need Steven making. Like these fun genre.
Adventure movies. You're getting it. Indiana Jones 5 is happening.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's good. I didn't see the third one. Fourth one.
You didn't?
Crystal Skull? No, not yet.
Nobody else did either. It doesn't exist.
All right. So on that
What are you talking about? There's a fourth Indiana Jones movie?
It's like saying there's a fifth Rocky movie additional seasons of Buffy.
There's prequels to the Star Wars movies?
Yeah, there was one. It was called Revenge of the Sith.
I don't even think I would count that in there.
Anyway.
If you're going with your Buffy and Supernatural like universe... We could do that as an episode. We should do that as an episode where we go through and say what doesn't exist. In the infiverse, this is what doesn't exist.
In the infiverse, okay.
There's a few where
that's one where we have to sit down.
There's ones where sequels shouldn't have happened, and there's ones where the original is erased by the sequel.
All right.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, though. That's one where we have to actually sit down and write that out.
Make a list.
Like, we can't just like.
Well, you could write a list of your opinions, and I could review it, and then write my list, and you could review it because there's things where I'm going to go, yeah, that works. No, that don't work. But there's a lot where I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So that being said, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10? I could go with that. Yeah.
Is this the best movie I'm going to see this year? No.
No.
Is this the best movie I'm going to see this month? Probably not. Avengers.
Oh, Avengers comes out. I forgot.
Anyway. So, yeah, I think if you are at all nostalgic for the days of yore.
If you enjoy 80s movies.
But they threw a lot of 90s stuff in here, too.
If you enjoy 80s.
But if you enjoy the 80s movies.
I didn't see. Here's the things. If you want to go 90s that I didn't see.
Well, Halo is 90s.
Well, right. Where were the Power Rangers? Because you could have borrowed them.
Right.
I'm sure that they would have let them borrow it. You know, where was Buffy? Where was, you know, stuff like that?
And for all we know, they're in there.
There may be in there, So. But I'm like, the Power Rangers. I think I would have rather seen the Power Rangers and see the Michael Bay Turtles.
Yeah.
And where was Optimus Prime? Or, you know, where was a Transformer? Okay.
So here's a couple of things that were different.
Yeah.
The Iron Giant is not in the book.
Okay.
And H doesn't control it.
Okay.
It's Ultraman.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that is what Wade uses to fight Mechagodzilla.
Oh, okay. So Mechagodzilla is in the...
The Gundam is not...
The Gundam was awesome.
The Gundam was amazing. The Gundam is not.
I totally would see a Gundam CG movie now.
So the Gundam is a little different. It's a different character than that particular Gundam. But there is. So the war, what happens is they set up the shield.
Yeah.
And they have all these powerful giant robot creatures.
Right.
And then the High Five and any other Gunter who wants to fight
the rebellion, actually
more it's more
the
like,
actual rebellion because so what, I felt well, like that was
so
the
what
rebellion.
It is the way to describe it. It's there's people who were generally pissed about IOI, and then there were a bunch of Gunters who just wanted to see what would happen on the planet.
Well, sure,
and they weren't going to get involved. They did, but so it's a big like it's like you know, Rock'em Sock'em Robots essentially. Sure. It's robot army versus robot army,
right?
And then you know. Everything happens. But yeah,
there's just things like, you know, this is a movie where, you know, and especially with Spielberg, because Spielberg's done movies for every studio. There's things that should have been in this movie that weren't in this movie that would have made it like fun.
I think adding Star Wars in would have been
adding some of Lord of the Rings in, adding some of Star Wars in, you know, adding some of Harry Potter in would have been cool. Because I totally like the scene where they come running over the fields, like all the people who want to fight. If they would have had Lord of the Rings, totally would have been a mountain, and Gandalf would have been just up there, and everybody would have just came running down with Gandalf. And
Gandalf
I would have been
on Shadowfax.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
light,
I would have been like,
you know,
the
light the
shines
the hill
down,
of,
and he
of,
turns around and sees like Helm's Gandalf, Deep. And then everybody else comes down, and it's Helm's Deep.
Yeah, or you could do like the whole pincer maneuver where it's like, you know, Jon Snow leading an army of whites.
Well, right, yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Like, kind of like, hey, you're coming.
Just the nods that could have been, but I'm like, I'm satisfied with what I see.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, and like I said, I want to buy
it. You should definitely go see this movie.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would recommend seeing this on a big screen, and from what everybody's saying, see it on an IMAX screen, maybe in 3D.
So maybe we'll
or an
that.
IMAX screen, just an IMAX
maybe
screen.
We'll do that this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, let's end on some John Boyega Marvel Universe fan casting.
Yes.
Reed Richards.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
Miles Morales.
He's too old.
Oh, whatever. Miles Morales, Spider-Verse. He could be any age.
Prowler.
And they did have a trailer for that at the beginning.
Yeah, we had that one too.
I was like, it's a little different than the...
No, it was the same one.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that whole chasing him down the road thing.
Yeah, I've watched that trailer 100 times.
It felt a little different for
I'm so stoked for the Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
Maybe Sony should just stick with doing animated Spider-Man movies.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so MCU characters.
Jumbo Yeager Man-Thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, no.
Rhodey Rhodes.
Black Atlas.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Goliath.
Yeah.
I think Goliath is the one that wins there.
If it was the X-verse Gladiator.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. Beta Ray Bill?
No, because you need John Boyega. You don't need a CG.
Yeah, you don't want to put him behind a mask.
No.
Okay.
No.
I like Goliath.
I like Blade.
Well, obviously Blade is the ideal character for him to play.
Yeah. But. I wish I would have been at Awesome Con this past week and he was there.
Yeah, Kenny had some... Did you see Kenny had a picture with Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, like, he was on the spit. It was really weird.
Oh, wow.
All right. Kenny. On that note, on that very inappropriate...
John Boyega, please play Blade.
I'm sorry, Mr. Welling and Mr. Rosenbaum.
Really, I'm John Boyega, please
play Blade. Blade.
Please play Blade. Because I think
most epic Daywalker ever.
I think he would be awesome with it, and we already know his skills with the sword because we've seen him in Star Wars with the lightsaber. Huh?
Morbius.
Yeah, he could do Morbius. But Morbius is a Spider-Man character. Sony still has.
That's true. You know, race swap Namor.
Yeah, sure.
He'd be good Namor.
He'd be good
Namor. Doesn't have to be white.
But I want Blade.
I get it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
and I get it. Bishop, I think he'd be a good Bishop in the X-verse. I think he'd be a good Forge, but then you lose that whole Native American thing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the key to Forge's character.
Sure.
So,
I don't know. It's the thing where you're casting a black actor and black characters, and I'm like trying to think of who else he could play who hasn't shown up.
I mean, tons of characters haven't shown up, but
if the Fantastic Four came back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, John Boyega, Silver Surfer.
But then you're covering him up, like
that's where you just screen cap him.
Doctor Doom.
Oh yeah, That'd
John Boyega, cool. Doctor Doom. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yeah.
After he does Blade.
God. All right, that's it.
But before he does Goliath.
Wow. Now we're just... John Boyega is playing everybody. John Boyega is the new Sam Wilson.
It's the...
He'll be Captain America's Sam Wilson.
Okay.
No, Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson.
Dude, Anthony Mackie rules.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week.
Later.
Bye. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodler, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.